DLGaming.net presents the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic. Flopsy.
I think that what we need to take out of that is that you're a weird dude.
Your host, Robert Digital.
I think this is a worse idea than Evolve 2.
And
Smoochie.
How you doing?
I'm doing very sober.
Okay, cool.
Now, turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
This is Chi.
This is Emilio.
And I'm Chad.
All right, Chad, joining us remotely again.
Yeah, well, sorry.
I hope you guys have been playing video games this week, because I certainly have not.
I've been playing one game a whole shit ton.
Jesus, you are obsessed, dude. It's one of these things where, like, I'll get up in the morning, I'll get on my computer, and I see you there playing Stardew Valley. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then I'll go and, like, do my entire day and then come back at night, and you're still playing Stardew Valley.
Remember in last week's listener's question, they asked how... what's your longest, like, streak of video games? And I said, yeah, mine's definitely over 20 hours. I wouldn't doubt if it's over 24. But, like, just this week alone, I did a 16-hour gaming streak.
What's going on with, I think that's probably the day that I was watching, that I saw you in the morning and then the evening.
Yeah, that was the day where you're like, PUBG? I'm like, hell nah.
Hell nah. I got rutabagas.
All right, let's move on.
How's Max absorbing this blow?
He's working.
So
he's reading a Dark Tower book right now.
Oh yeah,
which
the whole series.
He's finished the entire series. He's reading, I think it's like Dark Tower 4.5, where it's a book
in between
two other books.
Oh, gotcha.
So,
what do you think of the movie?
I am not watching the movie. I haven't finished reading the first book, and I hear the movie is awful. So
yeah, it's pretty
I would
bad.
Hate to just put up a bad expectation. I mean, not expectation, like a bad standard of the
series.
It is
getting really, really good reviews, preliminary reviews. Anyway, let's move on.
Fuck that.
All right. No new Patreons this week, but we do want to plug our iTunes. We had a bunch of new reviews on there. That definitely helps us out. Please continue to do that. Positive reviews, preferably, but, you know, anything helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell the truth.
I mean, everybody else gave us 5 stars, so it might be you, you know?
I think we have 1 4-star.
A precedent has been set, you know.
Yeah.
If you want to be the asshole that fucks up our perfect streak, you know, that's cool and all.
All right. Well, let's talk about some games that have caught our attention this week. I know the one, let's see, Destiny 2. Let's start with that one, because I think that one's the one that's on everybody's mind. The beta started today?
No.
Question.
It's preloading today to start probably midnight tonight.
Okay, so Monday it's going to be available. People can start. If you pre-purchased, you can play the beta.
But, question, this isn't part of your 5 games, Chad?
No.
Okay, cool.
Just a couple things to note. It is on your Blizzard launcher, so keep that in mind. And this is for people that have pre-ordered it, which myself is one of them.
Might want to tell Anna she's on video.
You're on video, babe. She's walking away.
She runs and closes the door.
I'm waving to her. She didn't wave back. What a rude bee.
Viewership just skyrocketed.
I love you, Anna.
Anyways, so...
What is it?
Destiny 2 is on...
Hate to watch you leave, but I'd love to see you go.
Yes.
That Anna.
Get back?
Sorry. Your girlfriend's so hot. All right.
Destiny 2 is on the Blizzard launcher, and if you pre-ordered it, you can watch it live. You can play it starting tomorrow. But once this is out on Tuesday, I'm not sure. I think it's 3 days, right?
3 days.
So it should be still live on Tuesday. So
yeah, and because it's on the Blizzard launcher, I'm seeing all sorts of cross promotion in the launcher. When I go to play HOTS, it's coming up. Heroes of the Storm had a big presence at Gamescom. I'm sure we'll talk about that later. But there was an extensive interview, several interviews done with with Alan Dabiri, who is like the lead on that project. And one of the questions was, are we going to see Destiny 2 characters or Destiny characters in Heroes of the Storm, since now they're... It's not a Blizzard product, but it's, you know, now in the Blizzard launcher. And it was basically a roundabout way of saying no. He said, you know, that's not something we're even considering at this point. But, you know, that might not have been the interview with Alan DeBerry, but it was with Blizzard. But he said, it's not something we're considering at this point. And if the time comes, then we'll really have to ask ourselves, you know, does that really belong in there? You know, is that something that would feel right in that universe?
Yeah, and it's not even a thing of, like, could they do it? They probably could.
Well, they absolutely could.
But should they?
Yeah.
It's not like a Nintendo with Smash Brothers is bringing in Solid Snake and Ryu and all that. Like, that one you can kind of just throw everything in. But, yeah, the Blizzard universe is... the Blizzard universe.
And there's so much in Blizzard that they could be put in Heroes that they don't need to yet.
And that roundabout way of saying no, they said, you know, the Blizzard universe, Warcraft, Starcraft, I mean, there's so many characters to pull from. It's like, there's not a shortage.
Who's next, Bobby?
Who's next for Blizzard? Rumor has it the Firebat from Starcraft is next.
Like, he doesn't even have a name?
I love the Firebat.
Well, what they do is they create, like, they took the Barbarian from Diablo, and they gave her a name. So it's like a generic character, but then they make a character out of it. The Medic from StarCraft is in there. The only Mexican in there, Lieutenant Morales. I say Mexican. She could be any Latino, but, yeah. So there is a Mexican.
Latina.
Which is probably one of the most important ones.
She's
Latinos.
Getting reworked soon, which I'm very excited for, but she's an interesting character for sure, and there's... like, she's different than a lot of other supports because she heals a lot, but she's very vulnerable. So a lot of positioning with her. Mm. But anyway, Destiny 2, I know that's going to be a big deal. A lot of people playing that. And have any of us, Chad, you've got it. You pre-purchased, right?
Yep. I'm going to be playing tomorrow.
What's the pre? So how's that work, Chad? How much do you pay?
Full price. So you're pre-ordering it, but then you get access into it. So
which is what, $60?
Yeah. And it's on the Blizzard launcher, so you could do it from there.
And when's official launch?
Shoot, I don't know the official launch date.
Maybe they don't know either.
I knew at one point. Yeah, it's not for a little while.
Okay.
Most likely, I will be playing
September 6th.
Oh, September.
Okay. Oh, wow, that is soon.
Actually, that's very soon too. That's sooner than Destiny 2. I'm sorry, will be out a week before Divinity 2. I believe Divinity 2 is coming out September
17th.
She'll be buying it as soon as her contest pumpkin.
I already have Divinity 2.
Her giant contest pumpkin. She's taking it to the fair in Stardew. After she wins that blue ribbon.
Well,
superfood.
Yeah.
It's a superfood.
Yeah. Well, pumpkin. Speaking of which, I can mark Stardew off my completion list.
Oh, you hit the year.
I am officially
on. And you're quitting now, right?
No.
You're done?
No, hell
wait,
no.
What? So what?
I am officially on.
But what about the rest of your list?
Day one of spring year two.
But the rest
of my list. Divinity 2 is on the rest of my list. And you best believe I'm just preparing my endurance for that game.
Okay.
So whatever I'm pushing into Stardew, it's going to be, it's subtle compared to what I will be putting into Divinity 2.
Well, in addition to Gamescom going on, QuakeCon has been happening too. And, they are, of course, having the big sale on Steam, lots of Bethesda games and id Software games going on sale. Quake Champions is coming to Steam as well, isn't it? I saw them advertising that. I think you can pre-purchase
it. It's out, right?
$29.99. Is it out?
Early access.
Early
access. Oh, okay. So the reviews have been pretty good. It's like, I believe I saw like 90% on the first 700
Bobby,
sold.
Is this the Quake that you played and didn't like? You just thought it was a rehash of the old shit?
Yeah, it didn't grip me. It kind of felt like the multiplayer from Doom. It's great if you love those Twitch shooters, but the problem that I have is I play those Twitch shooters and I'm over it in 15 minutes. The same thing has happened every time I played one of these games. So, there's a lot of people who really enjoy these types of games, and this is probably the pinnacle of it, but for me, it's just not doing it.
I wouldn't say that, well, personally, I wouldn't say that this is the pinnacle. I would say that Lawbreakers probably is. For me, I mean, you get the same Twitch type of thing, but you have so much more going on. Like, I feel like Lawbreakers is Twitch evolved.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a fantastic game, but if you like Twitch shooting, I would go with that.
Well, Quake has the name attached to, so I think a lot of people gravitate towards that one.
Yeah, for sure. Chad? I think, people need more than just Twitch shooting, you know? They need to have level up or RPG elements or something like that, and this just didn't seem like it has that right now.
It was kind of like, what is that throwback? Toxic?
Yeah.
Was it Toxic? Yeah, Toxic.
Yeah, we had fun for like half an hour, and then you're like, okay, well, that's about it. The only progression in that game is you learning the maps, and trying to get better with the guns.
I feel like shooters, Twitch shooters these days, unless you can really make a competitive scene out of it, it can easily die off or even barely start up.
And the action is so fast, it's hard to capture that on a camera, too. Like, to make it an e-sport, like, shit's going on so fast. Did anybody watch the PUBG championships or whatever it was? The Open, the Invitational?
It's in the news section if you want to.
I wish I would have watched it. No, let's keep moving.
Okay.
All right. So we've got a bunch of VR games coming out, too. One that caught my eye that Emu Killer brought to our attention was a PC building simulator. Was this a VR game, actually? Does anyone know?
Didn't you just say it's a VR game?
I think it's not VR.
It's not VR. Oh. It looked like it. When I saw the screenshots of it, it looked like a VR game.
It's like one of those like Surgeon Simulator style ones, right?
Yeah, it kind of looks like a Fumblecore or a co-op game, but I don't think it is.
It's funny. It seems like a game that will increase your stress levels rather than decrease your stress levels. I play video games to decompress. Like trying to do a PC, I imagine the educational purpose of it as well, but all in the same, like when I think of putting together a PC, I'm thinking about all that cable management and it's like, it, like my, like I'm already, my anxiety is going
right
up
now.
A
I can
bit.
See you're starting to shake a little bit.
Uh-huh. But Bobby, what, like you continue with like what you think.
What is
it? Or is a training tool.
Building what? I'm lost.
Building a computer. So you pick you pick out your parts, you buy them. It's a simulation game, basically. You pick out your parts and you connect them, and then they have like a little mini game once you connect the parts. So connecting the cables, what cable goes from where to where. So to me, it seems more like a training tool, which is great because building a computer is a lot easier than most people think. And I've helped people do it over Skype on video and just talking them through it. And I think a lot of people think that it's this overwhelming task and they're going to screw something up and they're working with all this expensive hardware. They don't want to risk it. But if you go and watch a YouTube video, you can see how easy it is. And this is more of an interactive way to train people.
Bobby,
I think the actual physical putting the PC together is not challenging or as challenging as diagnosing the potential problems that can come from putting a PC together part by part.
That's where you get the problems.
Like, it's like, is it my, like, holy shit, everything's together, but my computer's not turning on. Why? Por qué? Like, it's just like one of those things.
Por qué. PC stands for por qué.
Yeah. But PQ.
Bobby, you walked me through whatever. I think we were done in about half an hour, right? If I remember right.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't take long.
Yeah. I did all the hands-on stuff, and Bobby just told me put this there, that there. I wouldn't feel confident doing it on my own, but maybe after a little PC building simulator. That's one thing about VR that, you know, really hasn't
it's
been.
It's not a VR game, though.
Oh, it's not
a VR game.
Oh. It totally could be. This isn't a very early beta.
Oh, I bet it will be.
Well, is it even necessary to have it be VR, I guess?
Oh, not necessary, but it would be super cool, right? I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, it would be more.
Is VR necessary for anything, really?
Come on, man.
Sort of.
Hopefully we have that in the news as well, the price drop.
Well, this is called the PC Building Simulator. If you want to check it out, you can download the demo for the from their official website. I don't think it's on Steam, but it's very basic at this moment. You know, the dream with this would be if everything was exactly measured and the performance was gauged, so it'd actually be like building a computer. So if you're going to say, it'd be like PC Part Picker, but a virtual way of doing it. So you could say, you know, is this fan cooling system going to work or with this motherboard in this case, or am I going to be like,
wow, you know, that's a lot of data for them to have put in there.
Amount.
If they do it, maybe they're guessing. Fuck, that seems like a lot, dude.
Well, a big problem I run into when I'm trying to put together a build is the CPU cooler. I don't know if that's going to fit in the case that I picked out with the motherboard. Sometimes motherboards have these giant heat sinks on them and they protrude over the fan and you can't install them. So I don't know. It would be great if they had that kind of information.
What I love is that I think they're showcasing NXZT cases, which is the tower that I have. So it kind of shows you, like, basically it's like putting together my own PC all over again.
Mm. Yeah.
That's cool.
Emu mentioned that you could also have a PC building
NZXT,
company in the game.
Oh,
which
cool.
I thought was cool.
I was talking about stress levels, I think, to, it might have been Chad or somebody, I don't know, about how, like, I just moved my business from moving to junk hauling only. And it's because with moving, there's, like, inherent stress because you're worried about scratching every single thing. And with junk hauling, all you do is break and throw, and it's like you go ape shit on things.
It's like
fucking awesome.
It's therapy for hoarders.
Yeah,
why
it's
not?
Exactly what it is. It's like my job is a giant stress ball that you get to squeeze. It's great.
I yeah. love it. Well, how many like old ladies have you seen like almost have a heart attack with you throwing out certain things?
There's definitely like old people have this thing about furniture because I think they have it in their head that you buy one set of furniture for your whole life. As opposed to our generation where we just buy IKEA, everything.
It's like, everything. No, there are so many dead skin cells in that piece of furniture. Oh, it's literally so throwing away half of them.
Well, that's
it's like physically throwing away half of their being because it's like all just like dead fucking skin cells. Yeah. And I don't know.
That's why they
know.
Get it scotch guarded and covered in plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. IKEA is shit, by the way. Don't ever buy that.
No, it's good for, just don't plan on moving. If you move, throw it out, get new ones.
Yeah, it's good
don't
for a
move
starter.
It. It's a good
starter
yeah.
furniture.
I broke my IKEA.
Good for college people and people just starting out.
Yeah.
All right.
Can we do my five games game?
Yeah, now? Let's do that.
Do we have all those videos set up?
Do you have it all prepped up?
I did, and then we had those issues, and I had to redo everything. So let me pull that back up here.
Chi, you want to talk about Stardew, and then we can switch back once we have this going?
Well, why don't we talk about the games coming out on Gamescom here?
Oh.
Oh, okay. The reason I put in the glut of VR games is so when I'm doing this review for these games coming out, I've just been noticing more and more VR titles. It went from like 5% or less of the games that now we're looking at like 20 to 25% of the games, and it's going to keep going up, I feel like. And I guess I wanted to pose the question to the audience, I guess. Is it time for us to start reviewing, looking at, examining these VR games? Have we reached the point now?
Oh.
And couple that with also the fact that, the Vive got a $200 savings now. It's now kind of a little more realistic.
$599?
I think it's $599.
Yeah. I'm worried, though, because, you know, yes, maybe the quantity is there, but what about the quality? I personally would want to, like, embellish myself with higher quality games, even if it's not so much of a larger pool of games.
Says the girl obsessed with Stardew Valley.
It's a good freaking game. It's 10 out of 10.
But it's a $10 game. There's a ton of $10 VR games.
Yeah, they're mostly like $10 to $15.
So we're bringing back Chad's mobile corner, but it's going to be Chad's VR corner here.
Well,
as you two can see in my room, Chad, there's absolutely no room to do VR.
You can VR on the bed. Come on.
Yeah.
The first thing that I thought about, Chad, when you said that is like, obviously we can't bring in a VR segment until one of us has a VR.
Yeah.
So that would be the first step. So it's a moot question until somebody buys one.
No,
Bobby.
But what I'm saying is if the listeners are more inclined, if the listeners say, yes, we want to hear about VR,
yeah.
I think it's at the price point now where one of us should be able to buy a VR.
Yeah,
set.
For sure. Maybe I should have bought a $60,000
truck. I think we could all contribute towards a VR too and maybe just rotate.
Well, once we get the new studio,
yeah,
we'll be a lot better off there.
Flying Hawaiian asks, what happens to the Vive set we had? That I actually brought in from when I was working at PlayStation. We had a Vive set and I brought it home for a couple weeks because it wasn't ready to get set up at work, so it was just sitting there.
We were just talking about this yesterday. Matt was talking about,
and I had to bring it back.
Before we had the Vive, we had the prototype of the Vive.
Yeah.
We had the 0.5 Vive, and
The Vive, that was an Oculus Pro.
Oh, that was an Oculus, yeah. Anyway, holy shit, would that, I have never been seasick or got motion sickness in my whole life. You would take that thing off, you'd be depressed, start thinking about the kid that beat you up in fucking kindergarten. Like, it was not good. Not good.
Yeah,
it's so funny
like
how
pixels.
It's so funny how like a little bit of whatever they did with the motion tracking and all that just fixed all of that, and there's none of that now. Amazing.
I was messing around with some Google Cardboard? You know, that you put your...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A buddy of mine had it last night that I was messing around with it, and I was getting a little seasick afterwards there because it was just having some frame rate issues. But it's weird with VR. You get that, like, you get VR sickness. It's kind of weird. But anyways, let us know what you think. If you guys want us to talk about VR, let us know. Hit us up on Discord or, you know, hit us up on email. All of that can be found on our website, dlgaming.net. So we are interested to know what you think.
I would guess that next year, the next Dota Invitation, or what's it called? The International? The International? The International, I bet you it's going to have a VR component.
Oh, I think
I bet next year is the year.
Well, it already does. You can watch, because with Dota, you can watch in the client. You can actually
go into the field and
be
VR?
Like an observer in the game. And yeah, they have it hooked up with VR.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they've had that for about 2 years now.
Damn. Never mind.
Cool. We good to go, Bobby, on this five games?
Yeah.
Okay. I did this last week. Emilio enjoyed it, so I said do it again. So I decided to do it again. This is my last week before work, so I'm not sure if this is going to continue. But here.
Well, it did take a whole 15 minutes.
I can probably pick up the slack. We could rotate responsibility here, guys. We're all responsible adults. So
fair enough. We can talk about it.
Give me homework. If you give me homework, I'll do it.
I actually have six games this week, so I'm going to give you six games. I'm going to run through them really quick. I want you to tell me which game you would purchase of the six and why.
It's literally called Chad's five-game game. What the fuck? You're already breaking the goddamn rules.
I know. All right. I like to do it. All right. First one up, The Escapist 2. It's a strategy RPG game where you're trying to escape from jail. The game expands from the first game with more detailed sprites and tiles, more ways to escape, more things to craft, and a revised battle system. It has local and online multiplayer as well as local and online co-op. It's selling right now for $19.99, and this is in full release. Next up, Distrust. Distrust is an isometric survival / horror game inspired by The Thing. You know, John Carpenter's The Thing.
Great
from
movie.
Back in the day. The goal is to scavenge and survive in a harsh, snowy lands as you try to figure out the puzzles to advance. The game involves controlling two player characters individually and is single player only. It's on sale right now for $9.59. Next up is Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 2, a fighting game. Yes, I know. A fighting game based in the Naruto world. It is the sequel to the original Ultimate Ninja Storm. The open world single player experience has been replaced with a JRPG style progression. The game features a whopping 72 characters as well as 15 support characters.
Wow.
It also features local only multiplayer and is $19.99.
Bobby, is there gameplay for that instead of the? Is that a trailer? I can't tell. Okay, there we go.
All right, go ahead. You good to go?
Yep.
Okay, next up is Broke Protocol. Broke Protocol is a low-poly GTA Online clone with a strong focus on role-playing features. You define your own goals and identity in a persistent, interactive, and reactive online sandbox to gain money, power, and influence. You start with nothing and have to build your wealth while managing your hunger, thirst, stamina, and addiction levels. It's on sale in early access for $4.49. Next up is Rogue Sky. It is a rogue-lite dogfighting simulator with procedurally generated islands. Unlock and upgrade tons of weapons and planes. It features a bright, colorful 80s aesthetic with the accompanying 80s-style soundtrack. Play solo or with a friend in local co-op. It's on sale for $14.99 right now. And last one up, because I had to add this one because I found it late, so I had to add it at the end here, is Hyper Universe. Hyper Universe combines the gameplay found in a side-scrolling action platform title with the highly strategic team-oriented play of a MOBA. The player has direct controls of the characters with WASD controlling. The game features AAA graphics and currently has 28 characters to choose from. Fight against enemy players either in one-on-one duels through the game's RPG mode or take part in RTS-style warfare where you command your troops to fight against another player's army. It's on sale in early access right now for $9.99.
Wow, so let me get this straight. So maybe you progress through a story in a four-person team?
No. Hyper Universe?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a MOBA, but with side-scrolling.
Okay, you're playing other people. So it's like, what is it, Bobby? The other one?
Awesome Knots.
Awesome Knots?
It looks very different than
Awesome Knots. Well, yeah, but I mean, the mechanics look very similar.
Well, from the gameplay that I'm looking at, I don't see multiple levels.
There is multiple levels.
Yeah, I just saw them go up and down.
Go up and down,
And you can break the wall, the floor and go down.
Oh.
But there's only one lane. It's a mid lane, and it's more like Super Monday Night Combat, where you have like jungle or whatever above and below.
Interesting. So recap real quick.
Again, the list is The Escape is 2 for $19.99, Distrust for $9.59, Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 2 for $19.99, Broke Protocol for $4.49, Sky Rogue for $14.99, or Hyper Universe for $9.99.
For me, the most intriguing one is probably The Escapist 2, just because of its multiplayer thing. Bobby, we had some fun with that French version of something like that. What's that called?
Monaco?
Monaco, yeah. It reminds me of Monaco. This seems like it has a lot more going for it. Escaping a prison with our friends sounds like fucking ton of fun.
All right. I normally would probably say Escapist 2 as well. Because I was actually looking at this and almost bought it for myself because of the multiplayer aspects. But to be honest, like out of all the five games, if I had to choose one to like just magically appear in my library, it would be Naruto Shippuden.
Really?
Yes, I am such a weeb. You have no idea. I love Naruto. Like I have been and since been watched Naruto since I was, 13 years old. A lot of the characters, I kind of fell behind on Naruto, maybe like 200 episodes, but which is probably only not that much comparative to all the episodes that are existing, but I've played some Naruto games in the past and I think it's a really good visually appealing, combat game. I'm totally a weeb.
I have a question.
Naruto, it is. Yeah.
What fighting games have you played? Like extensively?
A lot. Extensively? Like growing up, all of them. Killer Instinct, Street Fighter.
Okay. God, I would love to play you on Street Fighter. I wonder how good you are.
I don't know. I'm probably okay. Marvel versus Capcom. Like, I actually did play a lot of fighting games, but once I got into PC gaming, it kind of died out for me.
Yeah, for sure. I think, what is that? The next Marvel versus
Capcom? Dude, I play Chun-Li every day. Flying Hawaiian just made a comment in Discord saying she plays Chun-Li exclusively. I'm a real life Chun-Li. All right, sorry. And Bobby?
Probably Hyper Universe. And maybe in a second place, The Escapist 2. Everything else, doesn't look.
Did any of us play The Escapist 1?
I never did. I think Chad did. You played Escapist, right?
Oh, we lost you, Chad.
Uh-oh.
Hi, my name is Chad. Look at my biceps.
All right.
Well, I'm going to get a name change to Pasha.
I heard him for a second.
Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I think this cord that you gave me, Bobby, is just really shitty. So I'm going to just switch it out for next week.
DL Gaming Podcast brought to you by Shitty Cords.
Yeah, seriously.
Shittycords.com.
So, Bob, you have no interest in that Distrust game?
It looks kind of interesting.
It looks fun.
I don't know.
I definitely love The Thing. Just very recently, I saw The Thing. I haven't seen it my whole entire life up until this, like, last year. And I thought it was a horror movie. The way people kind of portrayed it to me, I thought it was going to be something like It. And it turned out not to be anything like It. And The Thing is hands down one of my favorite movies I've ever seen.
Well, so it's been made
Reliving it through a game would be a lot of fun.
Which one did you see? Because there's three of them. Did it seem somewhat modern? Like 90s?
Yeah, I think it was the newest one. One with the really handsome, wide-faced dude.
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
I don't remember his name. What's his name? Kurt Russell. Yes.
Yeah, that's the original one from
80. No, there's a black and white one.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure. Anyway, let's keep going before I make a more of an ass of myself.
Myself, I would choose Hyper Universe in a second. That just looks really cool to me. And I wonder if there's controller support. You'd think with the side scroll with the 2D fighting game, you'd want controller support.
They don't have it listed. And even if there was, I don't think... I'm looking at the wrong page here.
But you hate that other 2D MOBA.
Partial controller support. But Chad? Even if they did, I wouldn't recommend using it. Because
MOBA just doesn't seem to make sense with the controller, in my opinion.
Awesomenauts is more like a top-down game. A little bit. Like, you're like shooting at range and stuff. This game doesn't really... This game is like a fighting game that's put in a MOBA universe as opposed to like a MOBA that was put into a 2D space.
All right, well, I'll have to see more.
Yeah. The last thing I want to mention is Bobby mentioned Gamescom. There was a couple games that were announced that I thought was interesting. The three that I saw that are coming for to PC is Biomutant, Anno 1800, and Final Fantasy 15.
Ooh, Biomutant.
The interesting thing in Final Fantasy 15 is that they are releasing it with full mod support, and there's already questions about nudity mods and stuff, and basically he said, hey, if you want to mod it, go for it. So I'm sure we'll get plenty of...
That's Square Enix doing that?
But then Final Fantasy 15 was mostly dudes. Okay, I'll be playing this.
There's
I don't do nude mods, I like mods, but I don't do nude mods.
Never done one myself either. Skyrim has a ton.
But that Biomutant game looks really pretty. I don't know if it's going to be any good, but it looks gorgeous.
No, Biomutant looks like a lot of fun. I think I saw a little thing where he was, I think in Biomutant, he was riding a contraption that looked like a hand, like a mechanic, like a hand, and it was like crawling around the floor, and then the hand would, the device would shoot, and the hand would like point and like just do like the gunshots fired, and it's like a freaking mount that this raccoon was riding around. It looks really good.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about the Anno series, I've never played one of these games, and I've always been interested in them. Like, it's just one of those things. It's like a simulation, city-building sort of game, I'm assuming. But they all have numbers at the end of them, and they always add up to 9 if you add all the numbers.
Oh.
If you look at every single Anno game, Anno 1602, the first one from 1998... 1503, 1701, 1404, they always add up to 9. And I wonder if there's meaning to that.
Oh, I'm sure there is, if that's the case. Well, wasn't the last Anno one that came out, the future one, supposedly pretty decent, but the DRM on it was so atrocious that people
basically heard good things. That was 2070, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And that one was out for a long time. I think there's...
No, it was like 2540 or something. 2520.
I don't know. 2070 is the one that I hear most people talk about. I think that was the most popular one. Let me see what the most recent one was. 2205.
Yeah. Yes. Something like that. 2205.
Okay.
But I heard that series is pretty good, but they had some problems with the DRM. But obviously, I hope that they've heard the feedback and have made adjustments for this new one coming out. So.
Mm-hmm.
And it's back to their old world, which I hear is their kind of like real good part.
I've never played Anno, so is it more like a simulation? Is it a city builder? Like what? Or is
there a
story?
I think it's a city builder.
Okay,
that's what it looks like.
Is it like a SimCity type of game or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Looks cool. Looks futuristic SimCity.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Should we get into highlights?
Yes, we should. Okay, so who wants to go first?
One thing I want to say, 2 years ago, GamesCon was like this giant thing for us. Remember, we had a GamesCon episode. It was like, GamesCon, and our intro and shit. And then now it's kind of like...
I think it's a matter of perception. GamesCon, like this year, Heroes of the Storm had a big showing there, so I paid attention to it more than I usually do. So to me, it seemed like a big deal. They made some announcements. They had a little tournament. Like it, I think in prior years, there's been a lot more coverage on our end of Gamescom. But I don't know. This year, like, we didn't really pay much attention to it.
Yeah, I got to apologize to everybody, too, about, like, how much I'm gaming and how much I'm putting into the podcast. Like, I'm in the middle, like I said earlier, about switching my company over. So I'm just been super fucking swamped. But that should only continue for another couple weeks or so until I'm all locked in.
Hmm.
Hey, Stardew Valley.
Out.
Is there anything you can add? Besides, it's the greatest game ever.
No, I think I what I did was, like I said, speaking of having time to open up for more games, that's going to be me. I feel like I'm going to get back into the gaming pool. And when it comes to Stardew Valley, I'm going to stop talking about it, guys. Like after this episode,
if you're gaming, I'm happy. Like that's cool.
Yeah, no, I don't care what you're playing. I'm enjoying it a lot. I really am enjoying it.
Like, what happened this year? I'm interested. Huh? What'd you do in this year? Like, what have you accomplished?
Oh, okay. So let me sum up my 1 year in Stardew Valley. And if you guys have played Stardew Valley, I'm not sure if you set yourself up to different goals in the first year or anything else. The only thing that I wanted to do but didn't plan to do was at least get the greenhouse before the end of the year. And I did. And so for me, that was a big deal because you have to unlock certain parts of the community center. And it's a really well-rounded goal and not the easiest thing to do the first year. But I managed to do it the first year, and I was pretty proud of that. I have all the boys as my boyfriends.
But you haven't married any of them?
No, I don't marry. I don't marry.
She covered her mouth and laughed like she's embarrassed with her provocativeness.
Yeah, I know. And then, let's see, I've made it to the Skull Cavern, and I've made it past level 25 in the Skull Cavern. I'm about two seasons away from completing the community center. And what happens in this game is that you move into a small town as the village farmer. And everything's falling apart and there's not so much of a sense of community, and you basically help everybody get back on their feet again.
Such a good dude.
Yeah.
Such
yeah.
A good person.
and everybody is an eligible bachelor, it seems. And basically, yeah. And the ladies too. So I've had a lot of ladies hit on me in this game, which is perfectly fine, but I thought it was a little distracting. Because it's I'm used to playing these games.
Are you a lady?
Yeah.
Oh, you can choose.
In the game.
You can choose. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know.
So it's I'm used to playing these games where you will only interact with the person on strictly a friendship level, and then when you initiate progressing further into a romantic thing, which you normally do in this game with a bouquet.
Which that you've shows done your, with everybody.
With every boy.
You've given them all bouquets.
Yes,
right? Wow.
Yeah, and that's when the conversation turns over to more a romantic sense. Mm. It's real life almost too. It's completely platonic until one person initiates, something romantic, and then it can go from there. In this game though, for me, it's a little strange having non-platonic tendencies from the women, before I'm even to six or seven hearts. It's this girl is only at four or five hearts with me, and she's already trying to tell me she likes me. I'm
thirsty.
Right? So it's just a little bit different. I understand why he kept it open up.
Did you tell her that you don't fuck with four heart hoes?
Yeah. Talk to me when you got eight hearts, bitch.
All right, well, I'm sorry I asked about Stardew Valley.
But no, I mean, it's just one of those things where it kind of knocked out for me, it kind of disrupted the momentum of wooing somebody in the game. Whereas the boys, no matter what, even if I was past certain hearts with the boys, they still treated me just a friend, not nothing romantic.
Right. But this
the
chick women, was all about it.
Yeah, but with the girls, they make it seem very romantic for some reason. Mm. But I guess it's more geared towards a male player. Versus the latter.
That's shitty coding, dude, that made this game, by the way.
No, it's not. It's not. And I'm not. So that's basically it. It's a great game. I'm going to play it some more. But my addiction is going to die down from it.
If I was a lady and I was looking at other ladies, I would definitely go with one with a duck bill. Imagine all the damage I could do with that thing.
Oh, my gosh.
All right,
you're going to need a bib, though.
All right, Chad, you've been playing Hearthstone?
Oh, yeah.
The new expansion.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been mostly doing Arena. I just wanted to hit a little recap on it. So I actually did get a 12-win Arena this week.
Congratulations.
I played 20 different Arena sets or so, and I got a 12-win out of it, which is sooner than I was expecting to get one.
Well, dude, everybody's everybody's at the same starting point, Everybody's learning new cards together.
It's weird with this one. I either get 10 wins easy or I'm struggling to get 2 wins. There's no middle ground. Last expansion, I was trying to get just 7 wins pretty consistently. But this one, I guess I'm just not used to the meta yet. this set's a little interesting because it seems a little less cohesive, but I think that's a good thing because I think it opens up the range of deck building a little bit more. I felt like the previous expansions were like tight. Like you make this deck or this deck, and that's your options. If you're a hunter, you're doing this deck or this deck. And in this expansion, it just seems like they're just good cards, and you can kind of put them together as you want.
And I feel like that's good card creating, too. You want that, I think, for sure.
You don't want
to pigeonhole everybody into not feeling like they're creative.
Yeah. So, all in all, I've been enjoying the Frozen Throne. I also did think it was weird. Did I mention this last week about not having quests in this expansion? I just thought it was weird that they didn't have quests, but maybe I mentioned that last week.
You mean like when you sign in, there's no quest to do?
They added a new type of card last expansion called quests, where you'd get them.
Hand. Yeah. Well, that didn't go over so well, right? It wasn't the best.
I enjoyed them.
Oh, okay. But
you would have thought, okay, they just added this card type now. Now they're going to continue doing quests and put a couple more in each expansion.
What mechanic did they put in? What's the new mechanic?
The major new mechanic is
becoming one of them, right?
Yeah, you can put you can put heroes in your deck, and your hero changes who your hero is.
Right.
So instead of being the hunter, it turns you into the undead,
like a planeswalker,
the Lich King hunter version, and it changes your hero power and all.
It plays like a planeswalker in Magic?
No, it replaces who you are.
If you kill that thing, do you go back to being yourself?
It's like a card that you play, and you were playing the Shaman, but now you're playing the Lich King Shaman.
But then if you die, if the Lich King dies, you die, it's over?
No. It just, you are now the Lich King version of it.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cool. Is it good? Do you like it?
Yeah, I'm liking it a lot.
Cool. Speaking of card games, I've progressed from playing single player ESL and the single player arena to the online. I'm playing people now, and it's all over the place. I feel like sometimes I do well, sometimes I do medium, sometimes I do really well.
What's your preferred color?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I don't know them well enough. Like, I know the white one really well, and I know the red one really well. But I'm not exactly sure what the other ones are quite yet. But I'm now, I love this part of the game because now this is where I've played enough where, like, the gears are turning. And I'm like, I like this and I like this. So I'm going to make a deck with those things in it for sure. I like this game better than Hearthstone for sure. I like the aesthetic better. I'm going to keep playing it for sure. A lot of other people are playing it.
This is going to be my new game assignment for this week. I will definitely play ESL. Since I said I'm dying down from Stardew, I could try a new game. And ESL is going to be one of them and potentially one other.
I think you'll definitely like it for sure.
I like Hearthstone. Like, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed Hearthstone. I just never wanted to really take it anywhere. I kind of got the impression that I would have to stay invested if I wanted to experience the game the way I would want to. And I did not see myself being able to do that. Like, I don't know. I don't know why I never really got fully invested in Hearthstone.
I've probably played, 10 to 15 hours. I have not even a single inkling of trying to put money into this game yet. You can play so much.
I put money in like really early because they have like good intro.
Like
packs that you can get that give you a lot of.
Hey Chad, I was going to ask, how much do you think you've put into Hearthstone? Because you buy a 50 pack every time an expansion. We're talking about 5 expansions now, so
yeah,
we're talking about like $250,
$300, right?
$300.
Damn. Something like that.
Think about how many years of WoW that is, you know, comparatively.
That's
a goddamn moneymaker for them, for sure.
That's ridiculous.
That's why Steam's making a fucking card game. That's so much money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
More on that later.
I had a conversation with Leet Milk today, actually, because she, is hardcore into ESL, and she shared her red green deck with me, so I was checking it out. It makes me want to get back and play that some more. So maybe I'll play it.
I honestly she think it's a better game, dude.
She probably doesn't want me to mention this, but I'm going to anyways. She said she hit rank 338 in Legend.
Nice.
So I was really impressed. That's crazy.
Does that mean she's a 338th best player? Is that what that means? Yeah,
that's what I think it means.
Wow.
But then she said she lost some games, so it dropped down into the 700s. But
you know why that happened? Because she mentioned it.
Yeah.
Dude, I was on a 4-0 streak on Versus Arena, and I was like, hey, Lee, I'm 4-0, and fucking, I lost every goddamn game after I fucking text that to her. Fucking dog yep. shit bullshit. I'm still pissed. Obviously.
And then Emu Killer mentioned something that I think we should bring up because it's important, that this is a mobile game also. So just like Hearthstone, it's one of those games where you can play it on your computer, and then when you run out the door, you can have it on your phone if you want to play.
We're not bringing back fucking Mobile Corner. Hey, Emu, what game did you mention that while ago? I want to definitely mention it. It was important. Let's see. What else? XCOM 2 is free this weekend, and the expansion is coming out on Monday, I believe. So, you know, they're doing one of those really smart things where they're giving you the game for free, and then, you know, once you're hooked, they're going to charge you for the rest of it. But if I guess you're going to get this too late, but if you're listening live, definitely check that game out. It's probably the best tactical turn-based game there is. Definitely.
Any of you guys getting War of the Chosen?
I am not, because I haven't got through fucking XCOM 2. It's like I played an hour, like 4 hours of it, and then I was like, this is the greatest tactical turn-base ever, and then I never touched it again.
You were all hyped. Oh, they're going to have mod support. You're going to be fighting fucking Ghostbusters and shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then gone.
Oh, definitely wanted to talk about this. Bobby, what is the Ultimate Epic Battle Simulator? Okay, so they have mod support now. And it's whatever you want. There's fucking stormtroopers. There's everything that you want. Is it? Well, I mean, they're working on it. It just came out, but I downloaded probably 25 mods for it. So I got werewolves in my shit. I got giraffes in my shit. I got like whatever you like. It's more is definitely going to be coming out, but I think Ryu's in there. Like people went crazy. So it's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
There was also another game that I think came out this week that was another battle simulator, but it was all about like animal battle simulator, but it wasn't like that intriguing enough for me to like really call it out. But I thought it was interesting that maybe this is going to be kind of a genre that comes out.
The only problem with this game is the fidelity. Like the T-Rex is awful. Like the T-Rex is at least 10 yards away from whoever he's biting, and it doesn't even look like a real fight. Yeah. You know,
it's not so much the graphics. This game looks fine in screenshots, but the actual character animations leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah, for sure. And it gets even worse with the mods. Like the guys make the character model, or they import them from something else or whatever, however they do it. Mm-hmm. But then it's even worse. The animations are even worse than, something else. Voltron's in there. Voltron versus T-Rex, definitely worth watching, by the way.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
Spoilers. No, never mind.
So you got Everspace listed. What the dealio?
Just started playing it again. I did cover it when they went 1.0. You know, they got out of early access, and one of the patch notes was, we included the story. And it was so funny, because, like, had no story and now it does. They implemented it well. As soon as you get through one sector, more of the stories divulged, and then every sector that you do is more. So I'm on a mission. I want to beat this game. I want to beat Mom, as it were, in a roguelike. It is. Let's see. Arguably, it's one of the best games I've seen on my monitor. Like, just like the vistas are breathtaking sometimes. It really takes you. Sometimes I'm like, I don't want to explore. I just want to look at this vista. The vistas in this game, the backgrounds are gorgeous. Deep, deep, rich colors. The computer's telling you a bunch of different things now. You know you're a clone now. So, like, it adds a lot to the story. We lost Chad over here. Do we have to? Is it?
I think my battery died.
Okay.
Died.
Oh well, we're good. I am enjoying this game so much. Quick recap: if you haven't played it, it's a spacefaring roguelike. You play it in first person or third person. Controls are super easy. Don't think it's like a dogfighting game. You can play it that way, but I play a tank, so I don't have to be very agile. I just sit there and take the beat and dish out the beat. I love this game so much. Anyway, I'm having a great time with it, and this is what I'm going to be talking about. This is my Stardew Valley.
Great. Awesome.
Oh, and this game has VR support.
I was going to say, this game seems like it'd be very good with VR. Straight in the cockpit, just looking at beautiful visuals.
All right, I'm going to take my truck back and go get this fucking VR.
Yeah, do that. You don't need to make money.
I'm noticing on the Steam page here, they have HTC Vive, Oculus Rift, and something called OS VR. What's that?
Chad?
Sounds like the... Is it like a iPhone VR one similar to like Google
I don't know.
Chrome?
I'll have to look into that later, but that's the first time I've
seen it. What is OS VR?
There it is. Open source virtual reality.
Okay. Open source. Razer makes it. Hadn't even heard of it.
Thank you, Eamon.
We might have brought that up at some point.
So I have a hard out at 5, and it is because I have a fantasy football draft at 5 o'clock today that for my big league that I can't go. But I kind of want to bring this up and just pose a question for you guys. None of you guys are really that into football. I'm the one that's more into football, but I wanted to pose a question to you guys. I contend that fantasy football is more gaming than it is sporting. Like, yes, there's real sports that put the stats in, but it's really just like,
it's more gambling, not gaming. Gaming and gambling are different.
Yeah, to me it feels more like poker.
It's like statistics.
It's more poker than Street Fighter. Because it's like building your role playing game team and trying to create as good a team as possible for it. I was just a question for you guys, coming from a gaming standpoint. Would that make you more inclined to play fantasy football, or is it the fact that you're not interested in football takes away any aspect of doing fantasy?
No, throughout the years, I have definitely been attracted to the gaming element of that. Exactly what you're talking about. The whole, let me build a better team than my other team. What always distracts me from that is the trading. Like, I don't have the time for the trading and keeping watch and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, I would like to join a game or a league where, like, you get who you get and then you're stuck with it and you just see how it plays out. That would be more interesting for me just because of the time crunch, but that's...
And I think one of the things that would potentially be more interesting for you, Emilio, would be the daily fantasy, which basically... Yeah.
Which I've done for MMA.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. Like, you can pick from everybody. It's not like you have to only pick from the players available. Like, you kind of pick your each guy has a value, and you
right.
pick your team as you want. That was it for that. I was just kind of curious on fantasy football and whether or not you guys would be interested.
Oh, on that, I remember I was on DraftKings, and they gave me a free play on like a baseball tournament. And I'm like, I have no, literally, I cannot name one player, I don't think. I can't name one MLB player. Anyway, this was like 2 years ago. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to pick every Latin named guy because I have nothing else to go on.
So many Latin named guys in the league.
It didn't do well, by the way.
Yeah, I imagine it did not.
Yeah.
I played fantasy football, I think like 2 or 3 seasons I did it, but I always lose interest about halfway through it. It's fun at first, and it makes you pay more attention to football. So if you're already into football, it's just, I don't know. It's almost like a, what do they call those, a companion app or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes you pay more attention to games you wouldn't ordinarily watch.
Hey, Chad, how's the whole San Diego thing going over? The Chargers going to LA, like, how's that affecting anything in the overall arc of NFL?
How does LA feel about the Chargers?
Yeah, do you?
they are in a 30,000 people stadium right now, and they're not selling out the preseason games. So LA is weird because LA has so many teams, like between baseball, football,
a lot of shit to do,
basketball, and hockey, and then all the college sports like UCLA, USC is so big here. Also, I don't understand how they can get a fan base, but anyways, this is a gaming podcast. We can save that for another time.
That's sports talk.
Yeah.
All right.
Next day survival.
Is that? So thank you for the mail to the Mayo. Mayo is maybe the number one game buy-in motherfucker for us. He just buys things and sends it over. This is a $10 game. It is a lot like DayZ early on, except for there's safe zones where you can't get killed and you get quests. So I only played this for 2 years. I mean, 2 months. 2 hours. I don't have all the mechanics down. I don't completely understand how it works, but it's a lot like a WoW, or it's an MMO. But instead of the enemies being NPCs, it's other players that have decided to be killers. So you go out, you have these quests, and you venture out and you do these things, but there's guys from another camp that are just out there to kill you, basically.
So PvP?
Yes. So for them, it's PvP.
So there are people that exist in this game that only exist to kill you and make your life miserable.
Yes, but being
Which
one of them...
Which sounds fun.
Yeah, you can be one of them, but that comes with its own cost as well. Like, you can't affiliate with the other... There's, I think, 3 or 4 factions. As soon as you become a player killer, you only have your one faction you can affiliate with. And then, but if you stay a civilian, I believe it's called, which, by the way, if you're civilian, you can defend yourself. If you see a player killer, you can kill him right out with no penalty. And you can go to the other factions and be fine. But the player killers can't go anywhere, basically, is the way I understand it. I don't have it 100%. The mechanics are a little clunky.
The graphics don't look that great.
They're not that great. It's not bad for a $10 game. They're exceptional for a $10 game.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, yeah.
But I probably won't play it anymore. Maybe if Mayo plays with me, I'll play some more. Hint, hint. Just hit me up, Mayo. But
these
games
are hard to do on your own.
Yeah, very Russian, if there's no other way to explain this game.
So, okay.
I don't know why every Russian game is just resources. There's like one can of beans for 4 guys. Here's some knives. Go. Every Russian. Fucking Russian game. Every one.
Maybe it's a reflection.
It's called real life for them.
Yep. So, okay. So, I've played DayZ. I've played PUBG. With Next Day's Survival, it's a little bit more like DayZ, you said. But the MMO element to it is what confuses me a little bit. Like, what type of incentive do you have going in?
So, like, in regards to this game? Doctor is like, the doctor's like, go get this for me, and I'll get you a knife. Because you don't have anything. And you go and
get it. You're doing quests to get
loot. You're doing, like, straight WoW quests. But instead of worrying about gnolls or dragons attacking you, it's these players lurking in the bush that have AKs, and you got a fucking butter knife.
So what's the incentive for the PvP, for the PKers, outside of just the satisfaction of PKing? Do they get
maybe
your loot
that
and
you
they
have
kill
some
you?
Shit that they need?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's one of these things where, like, I caught a cold and I need antibiotics. It's very like DayZ in that way.
Okay. So it's basically Battlegrounds with quests.
Yes.
So would you say the type of loot that you need, is there like hunger or any
There's
type
hunger.
Of...
There's everything. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like
so
a strict survival.
It's just an open, it's an open world MMO, like.
Yeah, it's not that big of a world, though.
Okay.
Because there's only 20 players per server.
All right.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird. It's a weird game. I can't really recommend it. Maybe for $10.
I mean, $9.99 is not a bad price. Might be worth trying out. Might be fun.
Yeah, it's
a beat down. I mean, $9.99, think about it. That's like some California burritos cost more than $9.99.
Yeah.
And if you can convince yourself and one other person who would really like this game to get it, to try it out for a night, you know, in lieu of a burrito, like, it's definitely
worth
checking out.
Might even be worth it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like going to the movie with a friend. Both of you guys spend
$10. Just spend $10. Try a new game together.
$10 for a movie? Not anymore.
Yeah, 18 more like it, yeah. With 3D glasses.
No, that's it.
Oh, and not only that, dinner before the movie. Yeah,
no,
dinner at a movie is pricey.
It's still it's a done deal. I don't go to pleb movie theaters anymore. I only go to the lot, which is like $22 for a ticket.
Okay, this is the
it's
problem.
It's so nice. No, it's so worth it.
The problem with fancy movie theaters, like the lot, which is a movie theater that serves you food.
Gee, I'm an adult.
I'm not going to pleb. Like, that's the thing. I understand what you mean by pleb movie theaters, but where I come from, in like small town, movie theaters were the biggest thing because there's virtually nothing else to do except go enjoy like yourself
and
at the movies. So a lot of what is like given to you, for instance, the movie theaters in my hometown, they have recliner seats. They have free popcorn flavoring. Like
yeah,
you
yeah.
can actually throw loads and loads of like sour cream and onion or cheddar on your popcorn without being charged for it.
Is that because they're all competing?
Your movie ticket is still $7.
Damn.
You know, of course you live in the middle of nowhere,
yeah.
but like over here, like being overcharged for these little amenities, it doesn't justify the cost to the means for me because I was used to having these amenities without having to pay any more than, or actually paying less than the standard movie ticket out here.
Emu, you fucked up, by the way. You did such a good job getting links. You're our boy from now on. I don't know where Jens went. I haven't seen Jens in
promotion
weeks.
For Emu.
He lives very far away.
Yeah, the lot.
Zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I really care about in those theaters is reserved seating. That's really what I consider myself paying for. Like all the extra fancy stuff,
the big
seats, whatever.
The cushy
but I want to pick out my ones. Seats and know that I don't have to go in there.
That's actually part of the movie theater from my hometown. We get to pick out our own seats every single time too, and you don't have to wait in line or wait inside the theater for a long time.
Hey, Bobby. So they Bloody sent me another keyboard. As we get into Bobby Gets Hard, they sent me a thank you. They sent me. Basically the one with, it's a mechanical feeling keyboard. It still has the light strike, but now it has the click, you know, and it's driving Sam crazy. Cause she sleeps like four like feet from where I game. Mm-hmm. So I would like to switch you out, but I also want to
see. You guys have so much space there now. Why is that still happening?
There's another person in the other room.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Makes sense. Never mind.
It's a tiny little person, but it's a person. anyway, so Bobby, I'd like to switch you out for a week, see if you prefer
I'll try it out for a week. And
yeah,
I still
for
have
sure.
my old DOS keyboard.
And for those people listening, basically take everything we said about the other one and add the mechanical click that you get from that satisfying like click. It's just a little too loud for my setup. And the other thing is the number pad is on the left side. I cannot even describe how much pain this is causing me in my life. First of all, my right hand is already trained. I was a teller at a bank for a while. I can punch in whatever you say, as you say it, I can punch in real time. Left side, it's like I had a cast on. I'm just like, I'm a baboon with a boxing glove on. I'm just hitting fucking keys. It's terrible.
That doesn't make sense for me either.
Doesn't make sense. And it doesn't fit on my desk that way. So whether you like it or not, Bobby, you're getting that keyboard. I'm taking the silent strike.
I've had macro keys to the left of my like with one of my
Logitech
keyboards.
My old
keys, but the numpad, what's the purpose of moving the numpad over to hit?
It's probably quicker to get to, but I think everybody
that's
is
bullshit,
trained themselves use it.
Yeah.
Just think about it. If you're going to use the right number pad, you're going to take your hand off your mouse, move it over to the right number.
That's true.
The number pad, and then
but you would never use the right numpad for actual gaming. You would just use the numbers on top of the horizontal number row.
Well, what I've been thinking about doing is actually making my WSD like 2, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, I guess for MOBAs it would make sense because if people use their numpad for abilities.
Who knows? Anyway,
even then
Bobby,
you would
try it
just
out.
Use
tell me what you think.
And your QWERTY board. I honestly don't see the purpose.
Thank you.
I would never see the purpose of using a numpad on my left side or numpad period for gaming.
Thank you to Bloody for sending us some keyboards. Until they ask them for them back, I'm not gonna say anything. but what was I gonna say? Oh, if you would like to buy one, and I can highly recommend these keyboards. The colors are great. Well, I mean, we already reviewed it last week. Basically, the only thing that this one adds is the numpad on the left and the clicking. If you'd like to save some money on it, the code is bloody, all in caps, bloody DL, and you can put that right into Amazon because you can't buy it from their website. So go to Amazon, bloody DL as your promo code, and you'll save 10%. Highly recommend.
That was the B845R is the one that, because I think that's the only one they do that has a left-hand numpad.
Yep.
But they have a lot of different ones. I didn't realize how many different keyboard types.
Yeah, I believe the one I have at my house is their like top of the line one, but more on that next week.
Cool.
All right, Chad, you got a new webcam.
Yeah, which we used briefly today so they could see me. I got the Logitech.
I don't know. What, why you look so good? We have the same. Yeah. We have the same webcam.
I got the Logitech C922,
which is the stream webcam.
Yeah. So the reason I got this is so the C920 is kind of the one that most people say is kind of the best streamer cam available, and this is kind of the next version of it. Logitech. The price is 30%. More or so. So this one was about $100 that I bought it for. But one of the selling points on it, obviously it's got better a little bit better specs. One of the selling points on it was it has green screening capabilities without a green screen. Basically through digital means you could green screen yourself. And so I was like, oh, that's cool, because I don't want to have my bedroom in the background, but I don't have room to do a green screen or anything. Mm-hmm. So I bought this one and tried to set it up, and let me tell you, the digital green screening was terrible. I cannot say it, stress this enough. Do not try to fucking green screen with this thing, because it's just not good.
Exactly. Like when I bought this webcam, I was weighing the pros and the cons. It's been a while, so I barely remember the differences. But I saw that, and I actually use a green screen. I've used different variations of a green screen, from your most ghetto piece of like green felt bought at like a cloth store being hung up by a string and nailed to the wall, to now an actual green screen curtain with like two rods and like perfectly lined up against white light, like daylight. So like the quality of my green screen is pretty decent now, or it's the best that it's been before. And when I saw that element on the webcam, I was like, no, no way in hell. No, I don't trust it. I was like, this thing's gonna, it's gonna offer like the, what I need, but I did not think that was an actual selling point, the digital green screen. Sorry about that.
That looks like something that is on a lot of MacBooks built into the photo app. Like where it sees your body, and then you say, okay, this is me, don't move. And then it puts in a different background, and you're on the moon or underwater or whatever like that. So I don't know that even on the Mac, that's very gimmicky, and it's not really any sort of like professional grade feature. But I'm looking at the specs of this, and I'm trying to see the big differences between the C922 and the C920.
This article right here has some at the bottom.
Clearly, it's a 922, not a 920. That's what it is, Bobby. So
the kind of big technical side is that it does have capabilities of doing 720p in 60 frames, but you do lose some image quality doing that. So I think at this point, the other feature that the 922 has is a tripod that it comes with. But all those features, I don't think they add up to a 30% increase in price. So I would say right now, I am a little disappointed. I bought the 922, and I should have saved a little money and still have bought the 920.
Yeah, I actually bought my 922 for $89.99. I got it on a deal. If it wasn't on sale, I would not have bought it.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. Emu mentions that there is a stereo microphone. But if you're using the mic on your webcam, you're probably not streaming the correct way. So
yeah, and I don't think I've ever in my entire life heard a good mic on a webcam.
It's just too far away most of the time. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a lot of background
noise. If that's the one that you have, Chi, I remember when we were all playing Escape from Tarkov a few weeks ago, you didn't sound very good when we were first talking. And then when we pulled up your stream, you sounded 10 times better. And then I had mentioned, like, make sure your webcam mic isn't on and that you're using your real mic. What do you have? The same one as me, the AT2020.
Yeah.
And as soon as you made that switch, you sounded just fine. So, I mean, it's just, you can put all the effort you want into a microphone on a webcam, but I don't think it's ever really going to be that good.
At this point now, it's essential that you have the proper tool for the proper quality.
The 60 frames per second, though, that intrigues me. I mean, that's probably what sold me. You don't see that on a lot of webcams.
It replaces the blue light. That means it's on with kind of a subtle kind of yellow, whitish yellow thing that says you're on. So I know some people, when they stream in the dark, you can actually see the blue on that 920 coming out. Mm-hmm. So I think it was kind of cool that they switched that out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love the difference for me was just instantaneous, especially with the light correction. Especially with a green screen, you have to have a well-lit room, and it has to be well-distributed. There can't be any dark corners or too bright corners. And
Your stream looks really professional.
Yeah, the quality of the camera has changed drastically for me.
What percentage of Stardew have you been streaming?
Only the first night of Stardew. The reason why I have not been streaming, I do apologize, and I have had people reach out to me, and they're like, why aren't you streaming? Stardew, to me, I am enjoying it so much, but I'm enjoying it almost as like a decompressional piece.
Yeah.
I am playing Stardew just to like really relax. I don't want to divert my attention. Sorry guys, I'm selfishly playing Stardew right now, but, I'll get back into streaming when it comes to more social games.
The problem with Stardew and getting out of Stardew is like, you could delete it, right? So that you could play other games, but you can reinstall that game in what? 30 seconds? It's not like reinstalling WoW.
Yeah, no, you know? Not at all. And then not only that, it's like, even if my game save were deleted, I could probably just start all over again and enjoy it just as much and just go about it a different way. So the replay value, it's there.
Cool. So did we cover the PUBG Invitational yet?
Nope.
Okay, cool. I didn't watch it. I want to. At least the highlights. Anybody watch any of it?
I have not.
So this, I read an article on this. The Invitational was kicked off at Gamescom. Apparently, there was some good plays that were going on, but a lot of it was missed because the way to stream it is very difficult right now. So, you know, picture 100 people all doing their own thing. How do you properly capture all that, and how do you make sure the fans are seeing what's going on? So there's been a lot of like missed action going on as the people are trying to watch it. But then as it gets closer in, you know, you're getting into 5-4 people, that gets really exciting because the camera can capture all that.
Right.
So the Battlegrounds lead community manager actually says, we're well aware that we need to improve. We're also grateful for all the support. Although it was far from perfect, we hope to improve a lot of things to present a better viewing experience. So it's one of these things, like, I think that game has the potential to be a really good, fun game for esports, but they need to figure out what's going on. Maybe it needs to be on a 30-second delay. And so when a shot comes up, they can rewind or, you know, show something or
from,
you know,
the other side, like,
yeah,
whatever
they,
shot them,
they need
yeah.
to be able to see the action.
I mean,
and it's really hard.
The first thing that I would do is probably just follow like 4 or 5 ringers, like the favorites, and just follow them for the first 75% of the
this
match.
Was an invitational, so all 100 players are going to be good.
That is tough. It's tough.
Yeah, and I believe Flying Hawaiian also mentioned that the winner actually won using a glitch or something. So
let's talk about it more next week when we know.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention while we're on the PUBG train is that it, as of today, overtook as the first most player concurrent players overtook Dota 2. And,
oh my gosh! I know it took the top spot, But I saw
876,000 concurrent players.
Jeez. So if you're not playing this game, you're fucking up. You're fucking up. Like Bobby at least has tried it enough to know that he likes HOTS better. But if you haven't even bought it, you're fucking up.
Yep. Bobby, HGC is back cheering. What's going on there?
Yeah, HGC, the Heroes Global Championship. It's their weekly league play. So, of course, my weekends are always pretty busy, but it's nice to come home and have just constant heroes going on. So they incorporated this new way of crowdfunding the game. And for any esport to be successful, you have to have a way for the fans to contribute financially. And all the big ones have done this. And this has been absent from Heroes for a long, long time. And it's been a huge problem. I don't know how it's gone so long without being addressed, but they finally did it. And this is the way that they did it. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but to recap, you buy bits from Twitch, which has been something they've had for a long time. You buy these bits and then you can cheer with them in various amounts. And that's a way of supporting streams. So the way that they do it in Heroes is you buy the bits, Twitch makes a cut off of that. Once you spend the bits, the players or the teams get, you cheer for a team and that team gets half of the bits you cheer and Blizzard gets the other half. So it's totally different than I've seen any other esport do. The good thing about this is 50% of the money is going to the teams and the players, which is a larger cut than I've ever seen. I think Dota and Counter-Strike is like 25%, and that's like the standard, like a quarter of the money. Now, the funny thing is Dota and Counter-Strike, even though it's only 25%, they're still making a lot more money than...
Because of the numbers.
Yeah, just because of the raw numbers.
And on that, Bobby, is HOTS growing or dying or... Not dying, but is it on the downslope, upslope? Is it stagnant?
Nah, it's steadily growing, slowly growing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like Smite was back in the day when we were playing. It was like slowly growing.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, it was really big for a while, I think maybe about a year or two ago during one summer. And then it kind of dropped off there. And then Overwatch came out and that shifted a bunch of people over. And then people started coming back. And it feels like it's really evened out. There's not a whole lot of like people calling it a dead game anymore, which was going on for a long time. But it's slowly and steadily growing. And you use various metrics to really get an idea of what the size is. You go for Twitch streams, Reddit, subreddit subscribers, you know, shit like that will kind of give you an idea how big the community is.
And on that, how do you feel being a champion of a dead game? No, I'm kidding.
I don't know if I'm a champion. Definitely not a dead game, though.
Just did want to mention real quick that League of Legends is, they're getting closer to setting up for their Worlds. They're in the playoffs right now for the summer split. So all that's going on right now, which I'm watching, and Bobby, I know that you've been playing some leagues, so I encourage you to watch some pros play. I think they're in the semifinals right now, and I think the finals are going to happen next week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to check some of that out since I have been playing some league. It's hard for me to really understand what's going on when I watch that game. I'm not that familiar with it, but there's a lot to learn if you watch competitive play of any game. But the last thing I wanted to mention on this, cheering thing that Heroes is doing, when I checked today, they were up to I think $165,000 that they have made, and of course half of that's going to Blizzard and the other half are going directly to the teams. So that's a pretty good amount. I mean, that's like half, that's like 80.
Well, how much of that is actually something going to Twitch? Because I feel like the...
Well, that's not... Twitch doesn't get a cut of that. See, it's kind of hard to understand because when you buy... Say you buy 100 bits, you spend $1.40 for that 100 bits. 40 of that cents goes to Twitch. And I then see. That dollar is divided between the players and Blizzard. So by the time it gets down to like where they say this is how many bits have been cheered, Twitch is out of the equation. They've already made their cut.
So they've already made the initial purchase. Twitch gets the cut. And then whatever bits you receive, you get 100%
between
of
Blizzard and the team.
Okay.
And
what a bit is a penny. So yeah, think, bits just think one of it cent. That way.
Yeah. But I don't know how it is with the compendium and other things, but I feel like that goes towards the, and I know Smite, I think, is the same way. That goes towards the prize pool. But with this, you can cheer for a specific team. So if I want to support my favorite team, then I know
straight to
that money is going directly to them.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So that's really cool. And I mean, 80,000 bucks, like a little over 80,000 bucks, and this has been going on for about a month, I think. I mean, that's pretty damn good.
It's not bad.
For heroes.
I mean,
but that's divided amongst how many teams?
A whole bunch of teams. Yeah. But of course, the popular teams like Dignitas, this game is much bigger in Europe too. So the European teams are making a lot of the money. Dignitas, Fnatic are like the top ones. I think they've made, I'd want to say like 20 grand of that is probably Dignitas or Fnatic.
I mean, it's all right money. You're talking about six people dividing 20,000. It's not a whole lot.
But, yeah, but this is more money than that was coming.
Yes, it's on the right track. It's on the right track.
Yeah, and this is a continual thing. This will be happening, I mean, indefinitely, I suppose. But they've said for sure, like, this part of it is going to at least go to BlizzCon, where they have the championships and the finals there.
So, Chad, is this you on the Linksys?
Yeah, well, I would be happy if Bobby talks about it, but I just want to mention that there is a Linksys router that's coming out that is designed to be a gaming router, and it is designed to reduce ping while you're gaming. It uses, it incorporates what it's called a killer prioritization network, or KPE, and then you can reduce your ping times by up to 77%. But in order to use it, you have to use the correct...
You need a killer network adapter.
Yeah, killer, you need a killer network adapter. Out of curiosity.
Yeah, they've sold these killer network adapters before, and people have always said they're just snake oil. They don't do shit, and they're not worth your money, and they're quite expensive. These are actually included on some motherboards. I think MSI has this on several of their motherboards. I think even my motherboard has this. So you do need that network adapter, which is basically the Ethernet port on your computer, for this Linksys to work. Now, this is not a revolutionary thing, too. Way back in the day, we're talking over 10 years ago, I did tech support for D-Link, and they had the
Is that before or after you were a cowboy in space?
That was before.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. During, obviously. He was doing that in space.
Oh, right.
But when I worked for them, they had a router that was marketed towards gamers. I think it was like the DG or the DL 4100. And I had that very one. It didn't really do anything. I mean, they advertise these and they try to get people to buy them, you know, gamers, because that's a huge market. But, you know, really just get good internet. And if you don't get good internet where you live, then move.
Then you're fine.
And on that, so I was talking to Incidus, and he works at our local ISP. He works at Cox. He also likes them.
Well, fuck that guy.
So, yeah. So, anyway, he was like, go do a speed test right now. So, I did it, and I was like at 243 down, something like that. And he's like, well, you're paying for 300. You know that. And I was like, yeah, well, I just got 243. He's like, you need to go get a router or modem.
Modem.
Yeah. That has 24 channels. And that'll bring you up to 300. So you might be paying for more than you're getting right now. I know all your other people. Like, it blows my mind when I'm like, hey, guys, let's play this one game. They're like, okay, well, shit, it's going to be 3 hours for me to download. Nothing's ever taken more than half an hour, ever. Like, California, I think we're really...
You guys are spoiled.
Yeah, we're really spoiled.
I've been on different sides of the world where internet isn't as gracious as it is out here.
Yeah.
But we do pay for it.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, so I'm going to be looking into getting a, well, I'm moving soon, but yeah, 24 channel routers or modem is what
you said. You know, maybe you can have mine when I upgrade, because I actually talked to Incidus too, and he was like, oh, they're going to be putting gigabit in your area pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. Gigablast, right?
Yeah, it's whatever called. The hell they call it. But apparently you need a DOCSIS 3.1 modem for that, and I got a 3.0, and I do have the 24-channel one, but they don't make the DOCSIS 3.1s with the wireless router built in, which is very convenient. But yeah, they're constantly upgrading. And for a while, I was doing just what you were explaining. I had an older modem, and I had Cox had upgraded the service here, and I never even bothered to look into it. And I was paying for a speed that I wasn't even getting. But Yeah, now I am. And now it takes me 2 less minutes to download a game.
Nice. Can we get into the news? Because I got like 10 minutes.
Yeah, and is there anything you want to start with first?
Is that possible?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, did you want to start with something first?
Let me just run through mine, and then you can finish up with stuff that you guys did.
All right.
Sure thing.
Okay, mentioned PUBG already. Next thing up, Overwatch is doing a rework on Mercy. We still have a couple people that play this game, but I just wanted to mention it. So Mercy, her ultimate used to be, you know, resurrect 5 people. So they're taking the resurrect and making it just a normal ability with a 30-second cooldown, but it will only let you resurrect 1 person. So they are changing that to normal. And then her ultimate is called Valkyrie, and it's got a 20-second ability that enhances all of her abilities. And she can full-on fly while she's doing it. Her healing beam goes like so far away, and she can actually target more than 1 person with her healing beam. And then the cooldown of resurrect then gets immediately reset, and is reduced to 10 seconds. So you just become like a super Mercy for a little while. But apparently Mercy's been having some problems, especially in competitive, with balancing. So they're reworking her.
I think this is good news. I think it's, you know, other than just having her hide in a corner, wait for everybody to die. Like, it's an actual strategy for everybody to rush a point, get dead all around the same time, hopefully. And then she just zooms in and resurrects everybody. And
then somebody counters with an ult and kills everybody that got res too. That happens a lot too.
Yeah. But it, like, I think it gives Mercy more to do. And that's not a bad thing, because most of the time playing Mercy means being a little bitch and hiding in a corner. But that's how you need to be in order to help the team. But that's not how I would want to play.
Well, there's always a character like that. We were talking about Lieutenant Morales in Heroes of the Storm. That's
you
what
were.
She does too. Yeah, well, no, you got her.
Just kidding.
But she does the same thing. She has like a healing beam, just like the StarCraft II medics. They have a healing beam. I feel like all these games have one character where they just... they're all about positioning. They heal a shit ton, but if they have terrible positioning, then you can capitalize on that. Yeah, but it's tough to balance. I can understand how this could be. The resurrection, I think, was the huge issue here, and that's what they're addressing with this.
Bobby, do we have more time in Smite or more time in TF2 together?
Probably.
Oh, man. I forgot to play TF2 with you guys. That would have been a lot of fun.
I've been wanting to go back and play some TF2. I mean, that's just... it's never a bad time when you play TF2.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, HTC is not doing well. They reported a financial loss of $513 million last fiscal, and one of the options they are mulling over is actually selling the VR, the Vive headset. So
their contract with them, right? Like, right?
HTC is the one that makes the Vive.
Right, I understand, but what could they be selling? I guess their whole division of the Vive division, I guess, as a separate thing. That's weird.
Yeah. So it's just kind of interesting that
Everybody took a gamble on VR.
They're down to 2% on the smartphone market share, which I find odd.
Yeah, I don't know one person that has an HTC.
You're sitting right next to her.
I said person.
I've had an HTC phone for the past 3 generations.
Wow.
So, they're really good phones when they work. And they have a tendency to not work. So it sucks that they have that going against them. But I would rather work, like, you know, have, like, my phone on good days is like a prized possession. I love my phone. No complaints about it. But my phone on bad days, and it's, I don't know.
I only have good days with my phone.
It's like an eclipse on my soul. It's bad. But I still deal with it. I love it. I love my phone. No problems. It's my second phone, but my second phone of this generation, this exact phone, because the last one crapped out on me, but no problems since then. So until it happens,
except for one crapped out on you, which is a major thing.
And I keep insurance on it.
All right.
But that's the thing though. Like, if I really like something, I like the certain conveniences and intricacies of something. I know that this is something electronic. It's not going to be perfect. If I wanted something easy and fluffy and would never break on me, I would go Apple, but I would never go Apple. So I don't use my phone. I don't use my phone.
Mine's perfect.
I don't use my phone to use Snapchat and FaceTime. I use my phone for what I need for myself. And HTC does a really good at providing the that for me.
All right. I think you're wrong.
So if you're wondering why our DL Gaming Instagram doesn't have more pictures of Chi.
Yeah, it's because their phone caps out on. Yeah, exactly.
My phone takes really good pictures, by the way. Amazing pictures. I just don't do anything with it.
I think all phones do at this point.
I got to keep going on this because I'm down to 5 minutes.
All right.
So, Half-Life 2, Episode 3. The writer of Half-Life 2, who left Valve in 2016, he posted a plot for Episode 3 on his personal website entitled Epistle 3. And he changed the names from, you know, instead of Gordon Freeman, it's Gertrude Fremont.
Yeah, right.
Or Gertie Fremont. So if you're interested in seeing what a conclusion of the series would be, he's got it on his website, and it makes for an interesting read.
Did you read it?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I don't remember what happened in episode two, so it's kind of lost on me. But anyways, I thought that was interesting. What do you guys think?
I think it's sad. If anything, it's heartbreaking. It's basically him kind of giving everybody what they've always wanted and what Valve has, like, you know, kept away. It's almost like putting the series into its grave. And, you know, if anything does come out, it's obviously not from the from what it originally was meant to be. And it's basically him giving us something, whereas, you know, like, whereas otherwise we would probably never get anything.
Is this better than never getting anything ever?
Well, no, but
you rather have never known.
Well, this one here, it's like it kind of like sets in the reality of, hey, this isn't happening.
Yeah, it's
Half-Life 3 is not happening.
I'd rather it be like that, though. I'd rather us know that it's not coming than maybe it'll come.
Yeah.
I prefer that.
Exactly.
All right, Chad, let's keep it going.
Thanks for Emu for sharing these next couple ones.
Dude, all he's doing is paying the rent that he stayed at my place. So thanking him. He's just working off.
Original Sin 2 is going to have voice acting for all 1,200 characters.
Jeez.
This I am so excited about.
Half of that is one guy pretending to do different voices.
No, not like even. Me. They have a pretty decent all-star, like, at least video game voice acting cast on there. And on top of that, too, one playthrough of the game will not be enough for you to even hear all of the voices.
I didn't even know there was 1,200 people in whatever land they come from. Where are they?
90% of the time, you're skipping through the voice acting anyways. Like, I feel like this is wasted money. It's just from my perspective.
If you're playing single player, no.
No.
But if you're playing multiplayer, we never listen. Right, Bobby? We just kind of skip through it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I let them talk.
Really?
Yeah.
I let it go a little more than Bobby does, I think, but that's just whatever.
I've already been through it.
You're sitting on a couch side by side with someone playing the same game, you both want to know as much as possible about,
when you played with Max, you're getting the same audio from your TV, right?
Like, yeah, we're watching one TV.
When Bobby and I play, we both have our... You can't really hear the other conversation.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of weird. You can. You can kind of, like, chime in.
You can eavesdrop. Yeah,
you can eavesdrop.
The person, and then you can hear.
But then that's all you can do. You're either eavesdropping or you're working on other shit.
Okay, yeah. So you're doing it wrong.
If you... Yeah. No, it is. It is.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to have, like, a four-man co-op night or
something. I bet it has four-man built in.
Yeah.
You could
have,
do
like, a Divinity 2, like, multiplayer launch party or something.
You could do Divinity 1 four-player with a mod. I think we did it once.
I wouldn't want to do Divinity 1. I wouldn't want to relive it.
No, it's different levels. It's, like, what? Just, like, you just fights. No story.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Bob, next thing up, Star Citizen has announced that it's going to do dynamic facial expressions. It's using what they call face over internet protocol. It's going to recognize, you know, if you've got a webcam on you, it's going to recognize what faces you're making and can imitate them basically.
EverQuest 2 talked about this.
That is hilarious. I'm sorry. Yeah. You know what I think about this? I think that's ridiculous because everybody's going to have that freaking, you know, they call it like the donut eyes, like your stare is just glazed over. And like I call it like the zombie mouth where it's just like wide open. And like most of the time when I'm playing video games, and what if you're just talking on Discord, you're just going to watch your face go crazy. I think that's kind of cool if someone's paying attention.
In concept, it's great. In concept, it's great, but it's like gamers aren't very expressive while they're gaming.
Yeah, no.
Except for Chad, who licks his lips nonstop, which is going to be super weird.
Imagine saying that again. Like,
I was about to sell this guy the Starship, but he won't stop licking his lips. I feel like he's getting a really good deal.
You're not getting a party invite from me, no sir. Yeah. No, oh my God, can you imagine somebody just like talking to you and you just see him licking his lips? And I'm just like,
I wonder if this is the same technology they use.
I will have to bounce out. Okay. But you guys need to finish off this podcast without me. You can thank Emilio for
being awesome,
having me leave, because his time was obviously more important than mine. But yeah, anyways, you guys have a good time finishing this podcast, and I will talk to you guys later.
All right. See you later, Chad.
If I can hang up. Oh, there we go.
But what I was saying is I wonder if this is the same technology they use in FaceRig, which is that software you can get on Steam where
probably
it's a webcam, it turns you into like a fox
raccoon or Snapchat. Same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like same type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
My beard seems to fuck up that Snapchat shit, though.
Well, Snapchat, I think, is just looking for certain parts of
markers,
your face,
right?
But not really facial expressions. FaceRig is supposed to, like, mimic you talking. So it's, like, actually you that's in the avatar.
No.
Like a puppet.
Yeah, Snapchat does all that. It like, if you smile, it triggers things, or open your mouth, if you close your eyes.
I know I've seen, like, the rainbow puke one, and I figured that's just looking for the mouth, looking for the head.
Yeah.
And aligning everything.
Either way, not good for guys with beards. Hmm. It fucks it all up.
Oh, that's very true. I would love face wear. I think it would be a lot of fun. But at the same time, like, I know what my face looks like when it plays video games. And 90% of the time, I'm just like, I just look like
a drooling zombie. It looks pretty Asian.
Is it very Asian?
When you're playing.
Like, what do you mean?
No, I'm just kidding.
Like, I'm squinting.
You're Asian.
I'm like, do I squint my eyes? Like, does my face smell like soy sauce? Like, what are you getting at here? All right.
All right, let's wrap up the news here. So one thing I wanted to bring up, Brink is free on Steam. They had it originally at 99 cents, and they're just like, fuck it, let's make it free. And this is interesting. If you don't remember Brink, this game's maybe 6 or 7 years old
now. Yeah, Brink is so good. I quit the game before I even finished making my character creation.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Brink.
You liked it.
No,
I had some good times with it.
What kind of game is it?
It is a PvP game back before it was like completely played out. It had quite a few problems, but yeah, people did not care for it. The interesting thing to me about this, though, is that they're just making the game free, but they aren't doing any sort of like relaunching. Like when they made Awesome Knots free to play, they changed the entire way they set it up with like a free to play model, and they changed everything about it. Brink are just like, it's free.
Sometimes people are just like, I want people to enjoy what we have. It's kind of like Chad put that thing on Discord about one of the games that we covered last week. Do you guys remember that top down horror game last week in his top five games?
Darkwood, yeah.
Darkwood. Mm-hmm. Darkwood developers put it on Pirate Bay. Yep. Just for people to have it if you didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah, and I've seen people do that with music and albums, but I've never seen anyone do that with a game. So that's...
The War...
Oh, the, yeah, yeah. The
War of
War
Us?
Of Mine.
This War of Mine. Yeah, mm-hmm. They did that as well. I think it's a good move. I would download it on Pirate Bay only because I only play games for a couple minutes, and then I give you guys a very thorough thing about it. Like, I know I'm not going to play this for a long time. If it's something that I loved, I would go back and buy it. There is that option as well. It's an interesting way of going about it. So we could all play this game and then come back and see what we think. I'm going to try it out.
Well, the thing is, when Brink came out, it was competing with... this is when Call of Duty it was, I think, when Infinite Warfare was coming out. Like, this is way back when. So when FPS shooters were almost, like, the cusp of the prime between consoles and PC.
Bad timing for this
game. Yeah, like, and then not only that, like, it, honestly, I think I remember playing a demo of it, and I was like, whoa! And then I got the game, and I tried, but then I remembered I didn't really enjoy it, so I was like, I'm not even going to finish making my character.
Is it worth playing it for free?
Huh?
Is it worth playing it for free?
I don't know if the community...
No, I was, because I was working for GameStop at the time, and I brought home a copy for free, and I, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
All right, let's move on to some listener questions. So we've got three, all from the same person, Emu Killer. The first one I feel like we've answered before, but nobody seems to remember except me. If you could poop from any spot on your body, where would it be and why?
100% my palms, because they would be, like, I could use it as an attack. Oh, you don't want to pay me, buddy? Like, anything that came up.
I'm pretty sure you said the exact same thing last time, and I'll say exactly what I said last time in rebuttal to that. Wouldn't you just have shit in your fingernails when you're trying to eat or do stuff?
I said palms, not fingertips.
Like Spider-Man?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Okay. So,
Bobby, are you sure this conversation happened?
This conversation,
yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Absolutely happened.
What did I say? I honestly don't think I've ever answered this question.
I don't know. I don't think you were here.
Brought up.
No.
What do you say? Hookworm toes?
Hookworm toes. If I could poop from any spot of my body, where
this
would it be?
Off podcast.
But then it would have to happen, obviously, from a crevice, right? And there's only...
No. If you can make an orifice anywhere you want. A poop orifice. A porfice.
A poop orifice?
Yeah.
Probably, like, the shoulder. Heel of my foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, away from your face completely,
yeah.
Right?
Like, so I could just, like, kick up my foot. Like, okay, so you could hit smack somebody with shit,
yeah.
But my hands are more important to me. Why not just, like, backspin kick somebody with shit?
On.
You could kick off your shoe.
And your sock.
And, like, shit kick someone in the face.
So let me take my shoe and my sock off, and you stand there the whole time.
Who wears socks?
I'm
going to
shit kick you.
I don't wear socks.
Really?
Well,
damn, that's gangster.
No, it's California. You wear flippy floppies everywhere.
Flippy floppies. Yeah. Bobby?
I don't know. I think the butt works perfectly well. I don't see why we need to switch things up. I mean, maybe a foot. You know, the further away from, like, my hands and face, the better.
Yeah.
And if it's coming out of your foot, then you can, like, just, you know, reach over and be like, and there
and just,
we go.
Like, all shake right. It off, right?
Oh, it happened real time.
That actually, okay.
It didn't happen on the
speaking
podcast.
Okay, guys, speaking of the days when I worked at GameStop, there was a kid who, I think it was a kid, but somebody had shit their pants, went to the back of my store, and then they shook their shit out through the side of their pants and just left their turds right there in front of the Game Boy case.
That happened to me when I was working at a grocery store. There was shit all over the thing, and I tracked down the person
way.
As if it was a deer. And it was this old lady, and I was like, oh, she was in line by the time I had found her. I was like, ma'am, you need to go to the bathroom now. And she's like, my colostomy bag broke. I was like, it doesn't matter. She's like, you need to go to the bathroom right now. And she's like, what'd she say? I need to buy my things. I was like, I will take care of it. I need you to go to the bathroom
now. Oh, my gosh. That's so sad. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Something that happened.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was me. I think a little boy was just looking at video games, got so excited and shit his fucking pants and then got scared. So just left the turds, didn't take them with him, left the turds. You knew he had to shake that because they were dry. Like they were almost like extra large rabbit pellets. And you knew he had to work them down his pant leg and like kick him out. So that
no, this old lady only left hot. Garbage. Like, there's no pellet.
Oh,
Bobby,
gosh,
you ever shit your pants?
No, that was a listener question last week.
Really? Yeah, I was drunk. I told you, I don't remember last week.
Oh, yeah, you blacked out.
Yeah.
You forgot that I drove you and Chad home.
Yeah, I was wasted.
How did I get home, guys?
Yeah. Who am I?
Okay.
All right, next question. What is the most hype-trained up game you've ever played, and the train turned out to be right? And what hyped games ended up being huge disappointments?
Well, we're all thinking Evolve for the disappointment.
Yeah. There you go. That's a good answer. Perfect answer.
Half-Life 2 lived up to the hype, for sure.
My hype train was for...
Was there a lot of hype building up to Half-Life 2? Maybe there was, but I don't know. It was just so different back then. I mean, that was, what, 15 years ago? More than 15 years ago?
Diablo 3 was one of those, like, super hype, Error 67 or something like that, right? So that fucking sucked for
me. This might be a little preemptive, but I think Divinity Original Sin 2 is going to live up
to that. Or is it 37?
God, there's a game kind of like on the tip of my tongue where I remember saying, finally something lived up to the hype, and I fucking cannot remember what it was. It definitely wasn't Duke Nukem Forever. That definitely wasn't it.
Yeah, well, 12, 13 years. And a lot of expectations that'll happen.
Yeah.
There's probably better examples out there. I just can't think of any.
I can't think of any right now.
Yeah.
All right. Has anyone tested out the video features of Discord or purchased Discord Pro or whatever they call it?
I didn't know it was out yet. We had always, you know, the reason we're getting the studio is so we can live stream on Twitch. But if we can do it on Discord, I mean, that's where our community is anyway. We might just do that instead. Let's see how that goes. We've got to look into it.
Yeah. I think they call it, Discord Nitro. $5 a month or $50 for the year, and then you get access to that. Plus, you get an animated avatar, which I've seen some people with. If you click on their name, you see their profile pic. It's a little animated.
And come on, $5 a year.
$50 a year.
Oh, $50 a year.
Yeah, $5 a month. Gotcha. I don't know. There's some other things, too. Like, you can use your emotes on other people's servers as well. So, I don't know. There's some benefits, but the subscription fee doesn't really interest me. This is going to be out soon anyway. I think a couple weeks this video is going to be out. But that's like a whole nother ball of wax. I think that's going to be a lot of... I think it's going to be beta for a while. I don't think it's going to come out and just be this glorious thing right off the bat.
I don't know. Discord has, since their initial launch, has been pretty flawless, in my opinion.
Doom lived up to the hype. The new release of Doom.
We were on a bit of a roller coaster with Doom because the multiplayer came out, you remember? And then everyone was like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. This sucks. And then the single player came out and they're like, oh no, this is amazing. So, yeah.
Cool. I think, are we done?
Yeah, I think so. What's next week looking like for everybody?
Everspace. I'm going to try to beat that game.
Yeah. For me, as I get home tonight, I'm going to start do the crap.
No, how about no? You already did your year, Chief.
No, like,
what's going to change?
I've never seen marriage yet. Maybe I'll get married in game and maybe in real life one day. Who knows? Who knows?
I think if the real life one won't happen if you do the virtual one, because you're going to be so consumed.
No, not at all. I was trying.
Once you marry someone in Stardew Valley, they just stay at home and then occasionally give you something. You say hi to them to keep them
like
happy,
a blowjob,
and you leave. No, they give you like fucking rocks or whatever.
Yeah, marriage rocks. Is boring in the game. Right. Honestly, marriage is so boring in the game.
You're better off doing what you're doing, just flirting.
Yeah.
It would be nice if they would stuff around the farm, but they don't. They just, maybe they'll do like one thing. They'll be like, hey, I fed a chicken today. It's like,
if you have a baby, they probably look after the baby.
Oh, yeah. I haven't had a baby yet.
I wouldn't want a baby.
Anymore. You can have babies?
There's no point. There's no point to have a, why would I want a baby slowing me down?
Because when they turn four, you can put them on the chicken feeding.
That's cute. But no, babies are cute.
Babies are cute.
Nice thing about Stardew Valley is that you can actually mod dialogue in the game. So people have created alternate stories and for the different people. So as you play the game longer, you can actually, the longevity of the game with mods, you could double up on at least those elements of the game.
You could also close your eyes and just imagine things happening with your character.
Like, that's how long it's been since I played Stardew Valley. There were no mods.
And it's completely different now, Bobby. I highly recommend it.
Bobby, try EUSRB or whatever that is.
I'm a slime rancher now.
Well, outside of Stardew, I should try ESL, and I'll probably get back into some PUBG.
Nice.
Cool. I will have no time to do anything, so I'm going to try to play Heroes of the Storm when I can. I had a lot of people hit me up last week after mentioning League of Legends. A couple people hit me up, got them on the friends list, and hopefully Chad and I can play with them, because I'm not going to play League on my own at this point, but if other people are there, then I will definitely be into it.
It sounded to me like you were having like more fun with League than you were with, as far as like just fun.
Not really because of the game, because, I mean, let's face it, man, I've been playing HOTS nonstop for like 2.5 years.
You can stop.
It's going to be old.
You can stop. Any point?
No, I like it. It's a great game. I like it.
Oh.
But I'm at the point, and I kind of do it to myself. I play quick match, so of course I'm not going to have like a fantastic experience all the time. And like I'm leveling up certain heroes, like just to level them up, not because I actually want to play them. So it's kind of my fault that I'm not enjoying it too much right now. But League is just something new and exciting. You know, I'm learning a whole bunch about it.
Cool. All right. So is that it?
I think that's it.
Speaking for Chad, absent Chad, or absent Chad, Chi, Bobby, and myself. I have nothing on this one. Let's go with Emu Killer Tits.